Let's get started. It's so great to see everyone. I want to first wish everyone a Gemar Chasima Tova, a good Geben Shior. It should be a happy, healthy year for you and your entire families. Today I'm going to do something a little bit different than I was actually planning to do, and that was based on a conversation that has been taking place on social media all day. I put out an innocuous post, which started a very lively conversation about the role of Yisker and staying in for Yisker. And so I want to review some of these sources because I myself have been viewing it throughout the day. And I want to discuss why it is that we recite Yisker, why it is that we stay in for Yisker, why it is that I personally feel that everyone should stay in for Yisker, not just those whose parents have deceased. But let's learn the sources, and then hopefully we'll have a greater understanding and everyone can make an educated and informed decision. Okay, let me share my screen with you right now. Hold on. Where's my screen here? Okay, one second. I got a lot of stuff on my screen right now. So let me start off with the following premise. And the following premise is as follows. That the Or Zarua writes an entire beautiful source about Rabbi Akiva. That Rabbi Akiva once came upon a person who was struggling with a burden, and he was bemoaning his lot. So Rabbi Akiva said to him, "What's wrong, my dear friend?" And the person basically says, "I wasn't a very good person during my lifetime." So Rabbi Akiva says to him, "Is there anything that I can do to help you?" So he said, "Is there anyone who survived you that I can go to?" And the guy says, "Yes, I have a son. And if you find my son, then I would like you to ask him to say Kaddish for me in Baruch Hu. And Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem, Vorach, Le'olam Va'ed, Yehesh Me Rabba. And if he says all of those things for me, then it'll be good for me, and it'll be a kapara for me." So I have the English translation. "For here, hearing to the man's city, Rabbi Akiva discovers that the deceased was particularly reviled by the townspeople. He had been a corrupt tax collector who took bribes from the rich and oppressed the poor. Among his most notorious deeds, the man had violated a woman on Yom Kippur. So Rabbi Akiva locates the woman, realizes that she had given birth to a son, and no one had ever given him a bris milah. So Rabbi Akiva gives him a bris milah. He then teaches the boy how to lead davening, say Kaddish essentially, and the father comes back to Rabbi Akiva in a dream, and he thanks Rabbi Akiva from saving him from the tortures of Gehenna. That Or Zarua is used as a source of an awareness for us that we can achieve kapara for those who pass away. And that's one of the reasons why we say Kaddish for a person who deceased. You notice it's not just Kaddish that you're reciting, but it's specifically leading the davening. It's saying Yisgadal, it's saying Kedusha, it's saying Baruch Hu. All of those are the components that we say on behalf of a person. But there's this notion that you can achieve kapara for someone even after they passed away. This is also found in the Rabbeinu Bachya on the Torah, where he writes, Elo Achaim, right, it says, Kaper la'amcha, darshu b'psikta, Elo Achaim shemiskaprim b'mamonam, asher padisa, Elo hamesim shemiskaprim b'mamon Achaim. In other words, there are two languages, Kaper la'amcha, asher padisa, there are two languages here. One is for the tzedakah that we give while we are alive and how that helps us while we're alive. And asher padisa is the money that we give on behalf of people who are no longer with us. That is a kapara for them. Says Rabbeinu Bachya ben Asher, "V'lamdu mizeh she'akdeshos she'noagim achayim l'hakdisham ba'ad ha'mesim," that when you say Kaddish for a person, she'esh lahem to'elas l'mesim, this has a benefit for the person who passed away. "V'chol shekenim ha'ben makdish ba'ad aviv," all the more so if a son says Kaddish for his father, "she'huz chus l'aviv b'yos ochel ha'ben perosav," it's his chus for the father because the child is benefiting from the fruits of the father's language. "V'hu adin la'omer bishvil kaddish oshum bracha b'beis ha'knesses b'tzibor," right? It's not limited to kaddish. I think this is one of the misnomers that people have. But kaddish is one of the tools in the repertoire. But it's leading something in davening, whether it's kaddish, kedusha, baruch hu. We'll see later on. It's obviously teaching Torah, learning Torah. All of those are forms of, and again, an example of where we can benefit even those who passed away. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says this explicitly. It says, "Mimnei ma lo manu es amon, Mimnei kavodo shel Yishayahu. Again, we're describing people who have no chelik in the world to come. So we say, why don't we include Amon? We say, because of his son, Yoshiah, who is a tzaddik. Menashe lo, nami lo nimnu michvo kvodo shel Chizkiyahu. What about Menashe? What about his father, Chizkiyahu, such a righteous person? So says the Gemara, no, it doesn't work both ways. Rather, bra mizake abba, that a child can earn merit for this father, but abba lo mizake bra, but a father cannot achieve atonement on behalf of the son. But what do you see explicitly from the Gemara? You see explicitly from the Gemara that a child can achieve atonement on behalf of the father. Ask the Maram Chalava, I understand this. Mahu lidur tzedakah bishvil mesim shugar mesu. How does tzedakah help for someone who passed away? Right? We're going to say yisker. We're going to explain that the whole essence of yisker is not simply the words that you're going to say, but rather it's the tzedakah, it's the charity that you're going to give. So ask the Maram Chalava, I don't understand. Why is it that tzedakah works? Don't we have this principle in Chazal, in the Torah, that once a person passes away, deals off. In other words, the mitzvahs you do in your life, you're stuck with, right? That those who prepare an Erev Shabbos reap the benefits on Shabbos. In other words, whatever you do during your life, the mitzvahs, the averos, that is it. Signed, sealed, and delivered. Now, wait a second. Now we're introducing this concept that not only am I limited by what I do by my lifetime, but there's actually a do-over. Because based on the way my children behave and my children act, they can actually create merits for me or they can create demerits for me. How does that work? How does that work? So he says here something very interesting. He says, you're not really undoing what the father did. Right? Whatever the father did, that's set in stone. So rather, what's happening? Right? A child does this because we have this mesorah that it benefits the father. In other words, it's not that when I give tzedakah, it's a zchus for my father, right? It's not that I'm creating something that wasn't there originally. No, it means that if a parent creates a child that is noted, that has a habit of giving tzedakah and is merit, so it's an outgrowth of the actions of the father. You're not creating something new for the father. It's not that, oh, the father was a terrible person. Here I come along and give tzedakah and I undo all the things that the father did. No. It's that because the father created or generated a child that is mindful enough to give tzedakah or to do mitzvahs or that knows how to read the Aleph Beis and so can say Kaddish or Kedusha or Baruch Hu, that is the outgrowth of the father itself. So it's not that you're creating something new, but rather you're recreating that which the father was able to do. If you look here on source number 6, again, these are all sources of how you create a zechus for a parent that's no longer there. Says the Rokeach, he says, "Umasha poskim tzedakah avor amesim biyom ha-kippurim velo biyontiv." We'll see in a second that the original source of all this was on Yom Kippur. Yesh la masmachta shekas v'so parsha v'ata titzaveh HaKippurim achas b'shana yichaper v'samech le unesano ish kofer nafsho leimor bizman shiitin lekofer hanefesh uma moil ames. How does this help the person who passed away? Shehachai no sin tzedaka be'avaro. How does it help him that the people that are alive get tzedaka on his behalf? Ella, what is it? Says the Rokeach. Hashem bochein libo sachayim v'amesim. Hashem knows everything. Im oso hames bechayim hayanosein tzedakah, vim hayani oso hames ach libo betov hayanosein im hayelo. As to elo kitzas ki achaya kol vakish lahakel din hames kedavid alav shalom. In other words, Hashem knows. Hashem knows what your kavana was while you were alive. Hashem knows whether you wanted to give tzedakah, but you couldn't because of financial constraints. Hashem knows why your child is giving tzedakah, as if it's just to rid himself of the guilt and burden of the rabbi's drush on yisker if he really wants to give tzedakah. Hashem knows all of that. So it's a reflection of the values of the mace from when he was alive. In other words, Hashem knows exactly what you were thinking the whole time. And therefore, if your child gives tzedakah on your behalf, and Hashem knows that you, had you really been alive, would have given the tzedakah as well, then Hashem counts it as a plus in your book as well. If you look at Yosef Ometz as well, he says something similarly. He says, "Inin hakadishim baruchu lamatzeach uberchas amazon la'avelim, yadua shemalim heimal yidei kain migehenim." All of these, whether you lead Kaddish or Baruchu or Berchas HaMazon, which is an Inyan for an Avilt, right? Any of these, it's a zechus for the person who passed away. The more you daven, the better off you are. He says, that only works if you're not Maretz. Right? We think Kaddish is such a graisa thing. He says, no, that's if you can't do anything else. Kaddish is the baseline. Avalimud HaTorah. But you want to teach Torah? Moel Shiva Sayimi Kola Tvila. That's even 70 times better than saying Kaddish. Val Yedei Kain Machnisin Ames LeGan Eden. And through that, the mace gets brought straight into Gan Eden. Vin Ham Ben Mechadish Chidushi Torah Ein Erech Le Hakavod Shezoch Avir Al Yedei Kain. And if a child shares Divrei Torah, even the, all the better. Right? So we think that Kaddish and leading davening is the be-all and end-all. It's not. I say this all the time, that I think it's so counterintuitive, it's so funny, that sometimes you'll see Avelim or you'll see people with Yurtzeit and they fight over the Amud. And there's bickering, oh, I want the Amud, you want the Amud, and they make each other feel bad. And I always tell them, I promise you, money back guaranteed. You being Mevater on the Amud, you giving up the Amud at a kavod for another human being, instead go learn 5 minutes of Torah, 10 times better than you fighting over Kaddish. 100 times better than you saying for Kaddish. So Yosef Ometz says, don't think that it's just Kaddish. Don't think that there's only one way that we can be giving zchus for those who are no longer away. No, we have a whole toolbox. And the top of that toolbox, the biggest thing in that toolbox, is Liman HaTorah. Everything else is for people that can't learn Torah and can't teach Torah. But teaching Torah, is there any greater zchus than that? Parenthetically, I should point out, that this is the Chai Adam's 200th year site, Rav Avra Mordechai Ben Yechiel Michel. And our learning should be Eliyun Nishmas for him. I'm a direct descendant of the Chai Adam, and so our learning should be a merit for him. But you see this also in the Beit Rid Baz. He writes the following. This is in his Hava to his children. He says, La'achar aricha yemei yamai, after I pass away, tizharu biyom shetasru kad, shetomru kadish, make sure that on my yurtza you say kadish, lil modaf gemara biyo bezayom, and make sure you also learn a little bit on that day. And if for some reason you can't learn Gemara, tizaru meod meod shelo lomar kaddish b'zeh ayom klal. Don't even waste your time saying kaddish. Ki lo sa'asu nachas ruach l'nishmasi ba'amarchem kaddish b'lo li medaf Gemara kayom hazeh. Tizaru b'zeh. He says kaddish without learning Torah. Kaddish without teaching Torah, it's nothing. It means nothing to me. So he says, right, we think that Kaddish is the be-all and end-all. He says, no, Kaddish is like the bottom of the barrel. You want to know what really matters? Learning Torah. Teaching Torah. That, he says, is far and away the most critical component. Again, we see this in other sources as well. The Sefer Chassidim, the Or Chos Chaim, all have similar ideas in them. Let's go to source number 12. Source number 12 brings us to Yom Kippur. And why this was on my mind, Erev Yom Kippur, was on my mind Erev Yom Kippur, because I simply suggested on Facebook that perhaps this year, when there's been so much distance and so much loneliness, that perhaps this year in Nisker might be a good opportunity to bring people together, that there should have to be a sense of unity, that instead of people walking out on each other during Nisker, that this is the year that we should all stay together. Now, parenthetically, I think this will be the year, because I believe there are tshuvas coming out that this year, even if you normally say you should go out, this year you should stay in because of the logistics that it creates. In other words, if everyone goes out into the hallway, it creates a logistical nightmare. It certainly will not be conducive for social distancing. And so the argument's being made this year that perhaps everyone should stay in because it will get rid of the concerns of everyone being in the hallway. But the essence, and that was the first source of yisker that we talk about, is brought down by Yom Kippur. And that's in the Shulchan Aruch, where the Shulchan Aruch says, V'nagu lidor tzedakah b'yom ha-kippurim ba'adam mesim. We have a minag to give tzedakah on Yom Kippur for the mesim. Umazkirin, says the Ramah, umazkirin nishmo sehem dehamesim gam ken yishlam kapara biyom kippurim. According to Mordechai, the Rama says that even those who pass away get a kapara on Yom Kippur. That's what the Medjer says. It's called Yom HaKippurim. Kippurim, the Day of Atonements, is in the plural. What are the atonements? So the Medjer says that it's atonement for both those who are Chaim and those who are Mesim. It's a kapara for those who are alive and for those who are no longer alive. And so therefore, Svardim, the Mechaber, says that you should give tzedakah. Ashkenazim have this idea of Haskaras Neshamas, what we call Yisker. Svardim do not have Yisker. It's why the Svardim, it's the one time of the year they don't want the Ashkenazi rabbis to come in, whether it's Shmini Atzeres or Kol, because they say our drushes are so depressing. They say, here we are on Shmini Atzeres, we're on Pesach, whatever the case might be, and we're in a festive mood. All of a sudden the Ashkenazi rabbis come in and they darken our mood by giving this heavy Yisker drusha. They say, we don't want a part of it. Right? Because in their heritage, in their tradition, there's no notion of Yisker. It's just, you give tzedakah. You make a donation of $36. You make yourself feel good. But the original source is from Yom Kippur. Comes Machzer Vitri, writes, Poskim tzedakah b'ram al-chaim levadam, m'nei shekaru hayom ish k'manas yado. How do we get from Yom Kippur to other holidays? So the Machzer Vitri writes, it's based on the Torah readings for those other holidays. Because we talk about ish k'manat yado, that a person would give whatever they were capable of. And therefore he says, v'chein minag b'chol yom achron shel regalim, that on the last day of the regalim, shekorin parsha zo lifsok tzedakah alachayim levadam, v'lo al mesim, shelo litzdar aleim. In other words, there's nothing to do with mesim. We did it on yontif because we were talking about giving tzedakah. So you know what? We should give tzedakah. Now why are we talking about giving tzedakah? Because we know the Rambam who says that on yontif, your simcha is not complete unless you are misameach other people, unless I give to other people. So the Rambam writes, you have to take care of other people. So the earlier Rishonim said, okay, I understand. If I have to give, if my simcha is not complete unless I give to other people, so how could I have a Pesach? How could I have a Sukkot? How could I have a Shavuos unless I'm giving tzedakah to other people? So they created something called what we call Yisker, which was basically an appeal. Because they wanted to give money. They wanted to collect money. They wanted to allow you not to feel sad, but they wanted to allow you to contribute to your Simchas HaYantif. And he even says, it's not to make you sad. It's not to put you in pain. Nothing to do with the mace, right? Rather, it has to do with the Chaim. It's to give us a sense of happiness. Dichsib behu baragalim, as it says by the regalim, v'ha'isa ach sameach. We're supposed to be happy. And the only way to be happy is if I give tzedakah. V'chein minag beretz Ashkenaz she'im poskim tzedakah l'meisim, right? Ela b'yom kippur and v'lad. Yom kippur is a little bit different, he says, but Ashkenazim, on Sukkot, on Pesach, on Shavuos, we don't do it. There's no yisker. There's no sadness. We're simply, we want to collect money to make you happy, so that I feel great about myself, that I'm giving tzedakah to other people. This you see in the Levush also. He says, Mashem askir neshamos b'yom achron to Pesach, whom mishum shirotzen lifsok tzedakah. Right, the whole reason why I'm giving tzedakah on Pesach is because I want to give tzedakah, I want to bring happiness. Mimnesha korim bo parshas kol habachor, where it says ish kenat nas yado. Aye, so what happens? The cave on shepasku tzedakah nagulitin bavor askaras nishmaro anishamos sheyizkor osam elokim. In other words, which was the chicken? Which was the egg? Which came first, giving tzedakah or yisker? Most people assume that Yisker came first, and the rabbis, to capitalize off it, started making us feel guilty, and they needed donations, so they asked us for tzedakah. Says Levush, no, it's the exact opposite. That giving tzedakah was the Yisker. Nothing to do with sadness, nothing to do with putting a damper on our day. No, it had to do with we wanted to collect tzedakah, we wanted v'ayisach sameach, there's no greater simcha than giving. But what clearly was happening in the time of Levush was that people weren't giving a lot of money. And so they came to the following realization. They said, what's the best way to get people to give money? What works the best in all of Judaism other than Jewish guilt? Jewish guilt. And so they said, if we can make people feel guilty, then they'll give more money. So the ikker was, the essential component was giving tzedakah, and only afterwards did they add on this notion of yisker. The agav yisker osanu imehem latova b'schusam. L'chein mazkir neshamos b'chol erogayim. That's how this concept of Yisker came. Yom Kippur says it's a different din, and that's because it's the Day of Judgment. And again, based on our Medrash, that judgment happens not just for those who are alive, but the Mesim as well. Okay. Now, as I pointed out, I'll just share one more source about this, but the Kitzur Shulchan, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch of Shlomo Ganzfried, so he also here articulates a whole slew of interpretations or reasons for how Kaddish is like one part of a toolbox. But he says, you want to know what else? What's another part of the toolbox? Being a nice person. Right? Like, so you think you say Kaddish, but you fight the guy next to you for the Kaddish. You think that makes you a good person? He says, no. He says, living a yasher life, not cheating the guy in business, smiling at the person in the store. He goes, that's also a zchus for your loved one. So people think it's Kaddish or bust. Says the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, it's not Kaddish or bust as well. How do we get from here to what I'll call modern day Yisker? So if you look in the Gesher Chaim, Rabbi Chil Michal Tukachinsky, he writes the following. Iker hatoelas shel haskaras neshamos hu benesinas tzedakah li'ule nishmas. In other words, the Iker here is tzedakah. The Iker is not the recitation of Yisker. The Iker is that I am giving tzedakah in memory of someone who is no longer there. And then he quotes the sources that we quote. V'nirei says, Shetchila haya minag lahaskir neshamos rak b'yom ha-kippurim. Originally, the minag was only to say what we call Yisker on Yom Kippur, because of the Kippurim l'chaim l'mesim. The achar kachin hi guzos gam b'shar shabbasos. And it was only later on that it was added in as well. So you see that quoted by Yechiel Michal Tikhachinsky. All of that is a segue, is the backdrop for, number one, why do we say Yisker? It's the premise that we can achieve kapara on behalf of those who are no longer with us, and that one of the ways to do that is through tzedakah. Once they were doing tzedakah, they also added on this notion of Yisker to enhance, or to guilt us, so to speak, into saying Yisker. Where did this concept of leaving during Yisker come from? This concept that I've been on a warpath against all day. So the Shari Ephraim, Rav Ephraim Margolius, quotes the following. He says, "Efsher shetama minag, lefi shehakol omrim yisker v'asukim bedavar zeh, ve'elu yushoskim ve'amrinim bebrachos shelo yu hakol asukim." So number one, there's some Gemara in Brachos, which we'll see in a second, which we're afraid that if everyone's doing one thing, and one person's not doing this, the optics are bad. So let's pause right there and let's learn the Gemara. The Gemara is talking about a Baal Keri, and what a Baal Keri can say, and what a Baal Keri cannot say. The Gemara wants to know, can a Baal Keri think? In other words, is it enough to think it? So says the Gemara challenges this argument, I'll read it in the Hebrew, right? Lama Meharer, why would you say that him thinking Divrei Torah? If thinking Divrei Torah is not the same as speaking Divrei Torah, then why is he thinking Divrei Torah? So I'm Rabbi Lezer, Kadesh Eloya Kol Olam Oskimbo Vuhu Yoshev Ubatel. That we're afraid that what's going to happen is, let's say Reuven is a Baal Keri, so the whole shul is going to be saying Kriyat Shema, and Reuven's going to be sitting there silent, and I'm going to be sitting next to Reuven. I'm going to think, what a yokel! Guy comes to shul, doesn't even believe in Yichud Hashem, doesn't even believe in Hashem enough to say Shema, and so I'm going to have false assumptions about Reuven. So what we do is we allow essentially Reuven to say it because we don't want everybody to be doing one thing and Reuven to not be doing the other thing. That, says the Shari Ephraim, is number one, what we're afraid of. That we're afraid that, let's say, Reuven does not have to say Yisker and everyone else in the shul has to say Yisker, that 99% of the people are going to be saying Yisker, Reuven's going to be sitting there quietly and it's going to be, people are going to assume that he rejects the premise of Yisker. That's reason number one for why we'd rather Reuven leave than Reuven stay and not say Yisker. Reason number two is a Gemara in Yevamos, where the Gemara in Yevamos has, again, I don't want to get too deep into the conversation, but essentially, Abaye was bothered by Rav Papa. Okay? So he says to Rav Papa, where's your father? Rav Papa says, he's in that city. Where's your mother? He's in the city. So Abaye, who was an orphan, felt that the only reason that Rav Papa had so much success was because he had his parents so close to him, and that they were enabling him to learn Torah. So Abaye felt a tinge of jealousy towards Rapapa. He looked at Rapapa, and because of his pain, Rapapa's parents died. It's what we call Ayin Hara, right? You have something that Reuven wants. Reuven looks at you in a certain way. That creates an Ayin Hara, and we think that that's something to be scared of. So says Ephraim Margolis. Now I want to read the language very carefully. He says, V'ktsas yesh lachosh, which in English translates to, maybe there's a little bit of a concern, l'ayin hara. Right? Now, if you ask the majority of people why they leave for Yisker, they'll tell you because it's an ayin hara. Right? Ayin hara, I don't want ayin hara. Right? Just to appreciate that the Shari Ephraim doesn't say, it's a halacha that it's an ayin hara, it's a minhag that it's... He says, v'ktsas yesh lachosh. And maybe there's a little bit of a concern about ayin hara. Now, I have been going back and forth with many of our rabbinic colleagues all day about this. And again, one could very easily make the argument that ayin hara can work the other way also. That if the concern of an ayin hara makes you leave shul, you're worried if I sit in shul and I'm not saying Yisker, but Reuven is sitting in shul and Reuven is sitting in Yisker, then Reuven's going to look at me, he's going to have an ayin hara. You think it's better to get up and to walk out on Reuven? And that's the fundamental aspect of my argument, my halachic argument, is that while we're concerned about an ayin hara, we've made it into this like enormous superstition, right? Leaving aside the fact that it's just as big, if not perhaps even a bigger ayin hara, that half the room is watching the other half of the room leave. That I'm watching someone leave, that's perhaps a big ayin hara because I'm resentful of them leaving. So you could easily make... So 2 points. Number one is the whole ayin hara premise. I want to reread those words to you. V'ktsas yesh lachosh. Perhaps there's a little bit of a concern, right? And even if you argue that there's concern, you could also make the counter argument, which is that there's just as good, if not a bigger concern, leaving during Yisker of ayin hara. My second argument is I think everything is a cost benefit analysis, right? What are the costs of staying versus the benefits of leaving? And I think once there's a knowledge and awareness that leaving creates agmas nefesh for people who have to stay, so then you wonder, do the benefits of leaving outweigh the costs of leaving? Right? The ktsas yesh lachosh. Is that outweigh the fact that by you leaving, it causes other people to be in pain? Now I get there's this superstitious notion about it, but again, I wonder if most people who think that superstition would read these words. V'ktsas yesh lachosh. Perhaps there's a little bit of a concern. Hardly an overwhelming endorsement of leaving during Yisker. In fact, I asked someone on Facebook a story, and I said, you know, would the Shari Ephraim even recognize our Yisker nowadays? Or would he thought that the pendulum switched so far to the other end of this superstitious notion that perhaps he would amended his statement? Again, it's hard to know, but that certainly would be my argument. That's why I feel very strongly against people leaving for Yisker. And I know other rabbis feel differently, and they feel that how can you compel people to stay, especially when they're uncomfortable doing it. My argument is that the reason why people are uncomfortable, because it's a lack of knowledge. It's a lack of awareness, and quite honestly, it's a lack of sensitivity. And I think, again, personally, and it's only my personal opinion, I understand that I think if the majority of people were educated about it, then perhaps they would feel a little bit differently. The Levush, Mordechai, so he makes a very interesting point about the whole notion, the whole nature of what Yisker has become for us. He says, "Lufi zeh, yiksha eich maskir neshamos biyom achag. How do we say Yisker on a chag? Mi gara hachag azeh shekol echad miyanta shel chasan. Ach pasha ki adaraba. Oneg v'nachas ruach la'isha shir nigu Hashem betzar hazeh. Oneg lo lahazkir neshamos avosa v'naim lo hatzar hazeh." Right? If you want to worry, how can you say Yisker? He says, well, I have a very simple solution. It's not creating the pain of the day. It's actually giving someone a release. It's making them feel better that they get to connect to their loved one, that they get to do something on behalf of their loved one. But again, that only works if we couch Yisker in those terms. If we couch Yisker in more almost celebratory words. In other words, instead of making you feel bad, instead of making you feel sad, we're going to uplift you into saying that this is an opportunity to connect with them, not in a depressing way, but in a way that enhances your chag. So where does this leave us? There's a beautiful argument in Truman, where he goes back and forth about the whole arguments back and forth about leaving or staying during Yisker. And his last paragraph, I think, is beautiful and really hits the chord of how I feel about the sugya. And I want to read it for you. He says, because there's an argument that says, why change? Right? Minag Yisrael, it's a Minag Yisrael. That was what one of my rabbinic colleagues quoted to me today. It was a Minag Yisrael. We don't change Minag Yisrael. Right? So here's the argument back. He says, Lo banu chalil zalzel b'minhag Yisrael. I'm not being mizalzel. I'm not flippant about a Minag Yisrael. I understand that for 200 years, people have been leaving for Yisker. It's very sentimental. I got it. Kvar izharnu b'tzitz Eliezer, b'nebitl minhagim, b'tainas medumos v'shtuvos kadim. Tzitz Eliezer, I didn't quote the tshuva for you, but the Tzitz Eliezer laments. He says, you don't just change minhagim just willy-nilly, just like that. And I get that. U'mishum kach, hu hisnaged b'charifus, lebitl minhag ha'yitziyah. Therefore, the Tzitz Eliezer was against changing that minhag because he doesn't want to change any minhag. And I understand the Tzitz Eliezer. Ulam, and this is where I feel. Hareinu b'mamar zeh shelor hametzios hametchadeshes yesh livchon manag zeh shuv. He says, based on everything I've shown, and again I quote a lot of these sources for you here, he says perhaps we need to reevaluate this minhag. And here are the key words: kevan shelitzia zo yesh hefsid. Because there is a loss, there is a cost to everyone leaving. Ve'itim shescharo shel shmiras haminhag. Perhaps you lose more than you gain. Right? You lose more than you gain. In Hebrew we say, Yatza scharo behafsedo. Whatever you gain by leaving, you are losing by also leaving. You are losing by what you cause to those who you leave behind. And that's really the foundation of my halachic argument. The foundation of the argument is, I get it. And I understand that Tzitz Eliezer, and I understand the notion, and if those who know me know, I am not flippant with Menhagim at all. I am an opponent to changes in liturgy. I'm very much in line with Rabbi Soloveitchik in that regard and others. I simply feel that what we've made Yisker into, not what Yisker is, but what we made Yisker into, creates a hefsid. It creates a problem for those who stay. And I do believe, and just seeing the visceral reaction to my post on social media. And while there were a few who felt that people should leave, even those who say Yisker felt that there's a camaraderie and a companionship to those who stay, and they don't really want outsiders in that. I would say the vast majority felt very passionately that it's more hurtful for people who leave, for people that leave. So again, these last line resonates with me so profoundly. Kevan shili yitzia zo yesh hefshed. It's important to recognize that there is a cost to all this. And perhaps the benefits of allowing people to leave are undermined by the cost of allowing people to leave. And I firmly believe, I really believe, that if we educated people about that line, again, I just want to read you that line of the Shari Ephraim, V'kitzas yesh lachosh, perhaps there's a little bit of a concern, right? I think if we educated people that's the whole shebang, that's the whole song and dance about leaving during Yisker. I think if we educated people about the emotional toll that, and I have articles for you in here, I'm happy to send it to anyone who wants, but the emotional toll of what happens when people leave and what it does to others as they watch people walk out, I believe that the situation would change. I really believe that I won't say everyone. I believe 90% of people, if they were educated properly about this, would want to stay. Not only be forced to stay, would genuinely want to stay out of a sign of camaraderie and kinship with those who have to stay. And again, I come back to my premise, which is that I find it ironic that in a time, and again, the rabbis are at fault for this because we've made Yisker into something that in its infancy it probably even wasn't. But it is what it is now. That's what Yisker is now. Right? But now that we've made it into it, I find it ironic that we create a set of circumstances where people are saddened on whether it's Yom Kippur or on Sukkot or on Pesach or on Shavuos, and we make them vulnerable and we make them think about it. And then we say, oh, and by the way, stinks for you, half the room is about to leave. Oh, and not only are they about to leave, they're going to say a prayer in the hallway thanking Hashem that they're fortunate enough not to be inside. So again, I understand the other side. I'm not judging anyone. anyone who wants to leave, I don't judge them. I simply want to present the sources and make the argument that I do believe that there's valid halachic basis for encouraging everyone to stay in, that there's a significant community component to that. And while I understand that there are very strong opinions on both sides of the argument, I really believe that if you educated people and you sensitized them to it, I think the chain would move a little bit. Based on the feedback on Facebook, it sounds like around the country there's at least a little bit more movement of shuls, and certainly in Israel, of shuls' willingness to encourage everyone to stay in, especially in Israel, where everyone's affected by Yisker because of the wars, because of the army. There's much more of that sense of community around Yisker. And again, I think this year more than ever is our opportunity to embrace that mindset. When it's been a year of such loneliness and distance, this is our opportunity to stay as one community in for Yisker, showing our support for everyone. And again, just because you're staying in, you can daven for your parents, you can daven for other people, you can daven for those who we lost during COVID. There's a lot to daven for this year. But I think this year more than ever, I would argue that there's a reason to show that sense of camaraderie and community when we talk about this topic of Yisker. So.